Hey baddies, it's your bestie, Katie. I wanted to remind you really quickly, we are going to have book club May 9th. Our May 9th episode is going to be all about the book, The Whispers. Now you can head over to our Instagram at podcast She Did What, head to our link tree and snag the book there, or head to your local library, your local bookstore. This book is a twisty, turny plot about the lives of women who live on the same street in the same neighborhood and how everything goes down. It is such a good read. You're going to read it quickly. It's a lot of fun. So snag the book. A couple of quick trigger warnings. This book contains pregnancy loss, infidelity, and there is a child that's involved in an accident. So if you're sensitive to those topics, we'll grab the next book club with you. Cannot wait to hash it all out and have some fun. May 9th. Don't forget.
I didn't think much about it. Like, I tried to be a good person, you know. I did always, the Big Ten, yeah. You know, all that
the kind big, of, what are the Big Ten?
The Ten Commandments. Oh. I followed those. Big you know, Ten. I tried to be nice to people.
Life as a mom, entrepreneur, wife, friend, and human is a lot. Join me, Katie Jacobs.
And me, Brandy Chandler, every Thursday as we have unfiltered, hilarious, and relatable conversations about the up, the down, and the chaos of it all.
Pour a glass and pull up a seat.
Because you're always welcome at our table.
Brandy.
Hi, Katie. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome, welcome. Back to She Did What?
She Did What?
She Did What? She Did.
Whatty what?
She was holy.
I don't know about that. She tried to be holy.
She tried to be holy.
All right. You ready for this?
We're going to talk about faith today.
Are you going to cry?
Probably.
Oh, I might cry too.
Really?
I don't know.
Okay, that'd be a nice change of pace.
We'll see.
I'm tired of crying. Did you almost cry at my desk a minute ago?
No.
Oh, I thought you were going
to. Why?
Cry. I just really want to see you cry.
So
today,
bringing us to faith, which is one of literally the only things getting me through the season of life.
Wow.
And it's nothing I do. It's just there for me, Katie.
It's kind of what I'm learning to like about it.
Yeah, it's just, it shows up when you least expect it in the exact way that you need it.
Wow. That's I think on it, we're done. Podcast over.
Podcast is cut.
You said it, and now we don't.
But that's really, I've been living that lately. I've been in a very hard year that's now probably turning into over a year. 2023, I said, was hard, but right. Now it's done, and 2024 is not looking too fabulous on some fronts.
It's early yet.
Yeah, but we're in that first quarter. We're rounding that first quarter.
Q1.
Not going good.
Sales are not good for Q1 in the life department.
Don't have a job.
Well, what do you call this?
I know. This is my job, my new job that I love so much. So we're having a conversation today. We kind of prefaced it, conversation bigger than ourselves. Things that, you know, we don't know all the answers to. Probably no one knows all the answers to.
No. But also, I think this conversation is unique because you have, as long as I've known you, and I think far beyond that, always been a very faithful person.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this would be a great conversation. I actually brought this up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it was probably something you were like, do I bring this up with Katie? And I brought it up because I'm newer to my feelings and still very much sorting out what I think and feel after 40 years of a specific type of, I'm not going to call it programming, but my own internal record player on this topic. And then having my life change so much last year and starting, well, we'll dive into it. But so two very different perspectives on faith and coming into faith. And I just thought it would be a great topic to explore.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, and like you said, I have always been a Christian as long as I can remember. Like as a child, I just always believed in God. Like, I don't know why. My parents, like my you know, tight family did not go to church on that regular schedule. Like we weren't the every Sunday, every Wednesday church family, but we went to church and we had Bibles in our home and my parents read me the Bible, but we just weren't like, we have to go to church. Like, we weren't those people. But yet, I've just always felt a very strong connection. You know, my grandmas were more, my grandpas died before I was born, so it was just my grandmas. And they were always more church going than like my parents, but they would always just sit and read their Bible. They just did it for them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because it wasn't a big to-do about church. We weren't going and doing all the time. Sure. But it was just they believed and they read their Bible. And that really stuck with me. So sometimes I have a lot of issues about all the doing church.
Those are so...
Because I want it to be personal and not a to-do item.
So let's talk about your... Let's continue that line of thinking. And so with your children and your family, what is your connection to faith, specifically Christianity for you? Mm-hmm. Can you tell me how that looks in your family week to week?
Yeah, we go to church every Sunday just about. I mean, there are obviously Sundays where we have other things and you don't make it. And my kids go to a Christian school, so they are taught church stuff in their curriculum every day, which we love, and that works for us. It gets a little more academic on that level, you know, like they mm-hmm. really know some things, but it's also more life application as well. At their school, we read the Bible at home, we talk about stuff at home. We definitely try to live Christian lives. Mm-hmm. I hate to say that because some people might be like, girl.
But it's not about, right? But again, like, that's always so.
I'm trying.
You're just hitting that mark for me because, like, isn't that, like, this has been the internal record in my head. Why would anyone who is a Christian, has this set of beliefs that in the way that I hear, understand, judge somebody else for the way that they're trying to be Christian? Yes. Like, this has always been my issue with Christianity
specifically. And that is an issue for all Christians. I mean, it's just... Sometimes you self-destruct, and churches do that. That's why all these churches fall, and you have all these new churches pop up.
Sure.
It's just human nature in the midst of it. It's not what God designed. That's the human part coming out of
sure.
it. So, yeah, that is a hot topic for every church and yes. every Christian, I think.
Okay. Okay.
Or if it's not, you might need to reevaluate.
Right. Okay.
Like, you know, I just never want someone to look at me and be like, that's not a good Christian. Because, I mean, I know I'm not perfect.
I know I'm not the ideal. Again, I just come back to, isn't that, like, anyway. We'll dive into that. Okay. Well, I think that's a good foundation to understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, that's from. Where I come from.
Can I give mine?
Yeah.
So I grew up agnostic with parents who probably border on atheism uh-huh. a little bit. A lot of tragedy in both of their histories. Mm-hmm. So I think that makes sense to not maybe have the most faith. My dad grew up in a Christian Science household.
Mm-hmm.
Christian scientists, or at least his mother's belief was not to follow the practices of modern medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And
so like childbirth, you're not allowed to utter?
I don't know. They're a bit of a mystery, my dad's parents. I don't know a lot about that part of things, mm-hmm. but I do know that like my uncle got polio. He should not have gotten polio. Like yeah. he almost died from it, I believe is the story. And my mom just had tragedy strike in her family. She lost two of her three brothers to horrible tragedies. And so that would affect someone's faith, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, just make them question a lot. And I grew up in a house that just was very much, and I remember my best friend, who I've talked about a lot, who lived next door, she was Catholic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think I want to like go figure out. And I grew up in a predominantly Jewish community outside Chicago. So I was very, very comfortable in a synagogue, like I, you know,
in a cathedral.
and then I went to my mom when I wanted to kind of explore things. She took me, I think she took me to like four or five different churches and uh-huh. services and everything from like temple to mass. And I was just kind of like, oh, wait, no, this is a long
Yeah,
day.
A little boring.
This is a lot.
So, but how awesome that she took
you. I know. You know, I know.
You were like, and
I
really, what is all this stuff? And she's like, yeah, well, let's she was go like,
well,
see.
Let's go every week That's and go really somewhere mean. Else. I thought that was super, super cool. And she was like totally willing to support me despite being agnostic at that time. So I'm married into a Greek Orthodox family. Mm-hmm. I was baptized at 24 Greek Orthodox. And I still was not so I still just was like, I don't know. I just don't. Mm-hmm. I hadn't found anything that ever clicked or felt right. Like, I feel the most at church when I'm in nature. Mm. The first time I can remember, like it was yesterday, I felt anything. I was in a river in Montana. I was 20, fly fishing. And I remember smelling the air, and it was so perfect. The day was perfect in the middle of the summer. And I looked up at the mountains and I was like, it just struck me. Like, the wind blew through the kind of little river area we were in, mm-hmm. or whatever, the little lake ravine we were in. And I was like, this is church. This is God. You know?
I had a moment similar to that. I was hiking. It was fall. And we were in a big, like, view. We could see beautiful. And I was like, oh my goodness. God mm-hmm. made every one of these leaves.
Yeah.
And it just hit me. But it was like you, just being out there and being, it was like an overwhelming feeling. Yeah.
This is church. And since then, I've really made that my church. Mm-hmm. You know, the church of like Mother Nature, really. Yeah. Mother Nature has always been there for me for a place to heal. But then really last year, and my husband is very Christian and very strong in his faith. Mm. And it's always been hard for me to like wrap my head around because mm-hmm. I've never really had that relationship. But then last year, just my friends kept dropping into my life, like on days where I just like, and I talked about this in our friendship episode, like where I just needed it. Mm-hmm. And it was like weird stuff. Like, it didn't make sense. I was like, how the fuck would this person know to text me right now? This mm-hmm. this very thing that I needed. And it happened over and over and over. And when you're getting hit over the head with love at a time that is so incredibly difficult, it makes you start to feel something.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't, because I had never, and I really started to think, like, I feel like I believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I believe that someone is doing this thing or is pushing along somehow to keep me here,
mm-hmm.
to keep me here for my kids. Like we're not going to let this happen.
So good. I love it. That's how he does. He sneaks up on you.
Anyway, I just, you know, I'm still negotiating a lot of the feelings. It's hard to, when you're reframing a foundational belief,
mm-hmm.
it is a little unsettling,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of kind of back and forth in your head about it, and you really, and like, and then I see at Easter, like a step and repeat that probably cost, you know, $100,000 at the local church where everybody goes, and it pisses me off because I think about how much money it takes to feed a family in this community that mm-hmm. needs help, or to house a family, and like, that seems anti-Christian to me. And I wouldn't like identify that I'm like Christian. I'm just stepping into faith mm-hmm. out of anything. And I love picking little pieces mm-hmm. from different faiths recently, but I'm trying to understand this journey. But I have a lot of problems with modern Christianity and seeing the wasteful spending in some of these churches and what it could be doing. But then I see the other side of it where it's like, well, people, this is where they're going to gather and to worship and to do so much other good. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of see both sides of it, but it's always been that like, ugh, in me of like, oh, you judge each other. Ugh, like, isn't that you're supposed to not be judged?
There's a lot of that. Like, those aren't just you.
I know, I just vomited on that.
All these people, lots of people are having those same feelings, even Christians.
So
like, it's a big thing.
Talk to me about becoming a mother. Did that affect your faith?
That is where I stepped it up.
Oh.
Yeah. That's where, like I said, grew up, I just always believed in God, but I didn't think much about it. Like, I tried to be a good person, you know. I did the Big Ten, you know, all that kind of.
What are the Big Ten?
The Ten Commandments. Oh. I followed those. Ten. I tried to be nice to people. But literally, I remember this so clearly. We had a hard time getting pregnant with our first, probably over a year of trying.
Yeah.
We didn't go as far as IVF, but we were hormoning and injections and all kinds of stuff like that. And the day I was by myself at home when I took the pregnancy test and it was positive, my first feeling was I had nothing to do with this. Like, all that trying. And when it happened, I was like, I had nothing to do with this. This was God. Like, because I've been through so much trying, like hitting my head against the wall, trying to get pregnant after all those years trying not to get pregnant.
Right.
And
you said a mouthful, sister.
That was my first feeling, is I had nothing to do with this. It was just a rush, you know, came over me. And then just from there, it was just even more. Everything was more clear, more apparent, more urgent, I guess is a good word. But yeah, that was a major, that's when I would say I stopped just believing in God to really trying to live for God.
Okay.
That was a huge one.
Okay. I can see that.
And I was kind of not disappointed, but nobody ever told me that. I feel like somebody in my life probably had that same feeling, and someone should have testified to me about, well, like, this is a big part. Because now, talking to other moms, lots of moms have like this big spiritual, you know, door open, I guess. I don't know to call it, when they become mothers, because I think, like I said, so much of it is out of your control, and you know, someone else is running this game. So, yeah, that was a big one for me. What about you? Did you have anything when you had your kids?
I had all the mother stuff. I didn't have any faith stuff, I don't think. But I did. So in terms of religion as an umbrella, I knew I wanted, weirdly, for my kids to be raised Greek Orthodox. Mm-hmm. Like, that was super, super important to me, which is really odd. Yeah. Having the weird relationship that I have with, you know, with this whole topic. And because I saw what good it did for my husband to be raised the way he was raised. And the Greek Orthodox Church specifically is so beautiful. And I love it. Like, I do. I love the church. And it is so – my husband is the best person I've ever met. Like, the best person. He is the kindest. I'm going to cry again. He, like, if he found out someone in the back of the store needed their engine reworked or something, he would go out there and do it. Like, he is the most humble human I know, too. He does not want, you know, I'm the showboat. And he is just, he doesn't want anyone to ever know what he does. Mm-hmm. And he does so much that nobody knows. Mm-hmm. And it is, to me, that's like, that's what it's about, right?
Yeah.
That's living in, for him, it's really important, I think, to live in a way that, like, I sound like such a layman, like, replicates Jesus, or like, live in a way that, you know, and he does that in so many parts of his lives. And I think it's so beautiful. And I see what it's done for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted that for my children. I wanted them to feel that comfort that I didn't feel until last year. I didn't feel that comfort when I had kids, to know I just felt completely out of control.
That's a great way to phrase it, the comfort.
I didn't have that. And then last year it was like, you might not get this, but here's your comfort. And it's going to come over and over.
So weird that you said that. Relentlessly. Have you read my notes? Did you read my notes?
Yeah, of course. I always read your notes. I like to be prepared, Brandy.
Well, this... So Savannah Guthrie just came out with a book, and we can link it. I can't remember the name. I should. It's like on the tip of my tongue.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. And I haven't read it yet, but I've listened to lots of interviews with her, and I've heard a lot of people talk about it, and it sounds like it's a really good book. Comes from a very just, this is what happened between me and God. Not preachy, you know, just this is my story of my relationship with God. Sure. And I heard her say something, and I tried to write it down verbatim. She said, Sometimes when she's having a conversation with God, she feels like he's saying to her, "Oh, honey, I'm so sorry this had to happen to you. I don't know if I can fix it, but come here and I'll hold you." And that resonated so much with me because I've had in the past year a big disagreement with my family. My husband and I work with my family. We both quit our jobs there. Yeah. We lived on family land. We're moving. So, like, a lot of stuff.
Huge disruption.
And we, lot of time, about 6 months, we didn't know what career we were going into, where we're going to move to. We still don't know where we're going to live. Like, a lot of unknowns. I have a teenager and a preteen son and a toddler. So, yeah. I'm taking them along with me. And there were so many times where I had absolutely no answers, no leads, anything. And I would feel this overwhelming peace about the situation. Obviously nothing I could do because I am an anxious.
Right. Type A.
Do it all. Doer. Let's do it all today. Like, I could have had all the things solved in one day.
Right.
You know, but that was not what was called to happen in this plan. And there was just so much peace. And there still is. As upset as I get and as down as I get, like this weekend looking for houses, there's just so much peace. And it's just God saying, I've got you. Like, I'm with you.
Oh, yeah.
We're here. We're just walking.
Yeah.
It's just. Take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And that's so good. But that's like you beautiful. Said, the comfort. Because you can't give your kids that. That's something they have to develop.
Well, and like no one could have, I mean, how many people tried to witness or testify to me? And it just, it was so icky and such a turnoff to me. Like, I'm good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I will figure it out in my time, in my course. Yeah. I do not need, I'm not a person who is going to go and pretend ever, ever. If it's not working or it's not right or it's not a thing, I'm not going to do it. Christian Roofing and Remodeling is a locally owned and operated contracting company located in Athens, Georgia. Starting as Christian Hardware in 1939, Christian Roofing has been serving the Athens area and customers, including Brandy and I, for 85 years. We can both attest that their staff of men and women are available to work with customers to provide full-scale roofing and remodeling services tailored to meet the individual needs of all clients. They're backed by the industry's most comprehensive warranties and were recently recognized as a top 30 contractor nationwide. The company's longevity and commitment to the Athens area make them the obvious choice for reliable and trustworthy service. Christian Roofing and Remodeling. We've been here, we'll be here. A guy in college that I knew who was like, he told my friend that he really wanted to help me find Jesus, but he also really wanted to sleep with me.
Jesus probably told him he should. I mean, what is that? No, I have a lot of issues.
And I was like, this is my problem. This is why I'm not a Christian. Like, I just, like, stuff like that happened, you know, when I moved to Georgia in fifth grade. Yeah. I told that story. You know, this girl turning around in the street and being like, have you accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? And I will never forget that moment of me going, no, and she said, you're going to hell. And turned right back around. And I was like, okay, guess I'm going to hell. Welcome to Georgia. Yeah.
And I'm one of those kids. I probably saved myself 20 times growing up because in all the church services, like, you don't know if you've been saved. I was like, I better say this prayer again.
Yeah.
I don't know all the rules, you know, and I'm so, I have a big aversion to those types of things as well. Right. I remember when my daughter was saved, I was with her at this like specific young girl.
When you, sorry, I don't know what that means. When you say when my daughter was saved.
When you're saved is when you profess that you accept Jesus as your savior.
In the Christian faith.
Yeah, I might not be saying all the terms correctly.
No.
This is authority on the matter. So it's like your personal, and then you get baptized.
For laymen like me, this is like very specific to Christianity and accepting Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. It's your personal. And that's what everybody says. You just have to say this prayer and accept Jesus in your heart. But people ask you to do it all the time.
Sure.
Do I need to do it again? No, you do it once.
Okay. I understand. Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
So there was this young event like for a young girls. It was geared towards them. And we were there. And there were a lot of people. It's an altar call. So come to the front. Get saved. Accept Jesus. And I leaned over and I told my daughter, and I don't know why, because it was just she and I there. I was like, you know, you don't have to go up front to get saved. You can get saved right here in your seat. like, you just have to pray.
Yeah.
And she did. She's like, I want to be saved. I was like, do you want to go up front? And she was like, no.
So, she's like you.
I know. She is my daughter. And so we were there in our seats and we did it together. And it was such a special moment because I've never helped anyone be saved before. Confession. So
yeah, I don't see you really going out
what I was doing
pushing this on people,
you know, but it was a super sweet moment. And sometimes I want to shout that from the rooftops, like, you don't have to do, you know, we make it into a much,
the pomp and circumstance. Yeah, get up, you don't, and testify to,
and testify is just telling your story, like what we are doing right now, that's testifying.
Oh,
that's all it is. That's okay. My witness.
Right. Okay. I don't know if I like all that, but
it's a little lackluster.
I'm not there yet, Brandy.
I just feel like they try to make it into like something that it's not.
But how intimidating. And isn't it like, if you want, I don't know. Yeah.
And they're like, you have to share your story to share Jesus. I'm like, no, just be nice to people and they'll see Jesus coming out of you.
Sure.
And that's it.
I mean, I think that that is personified. That's not the right word, but in my husband, it's like,
yes, that's a great example.
Over and over, the way that he shows up,
and that
in his faith, think about
how many more people he has reached by just showing up as that good person and being there for them, than walking up to people and saying, "Can I talk to you about Jesus?" Because no one would listen.
And I'm like, no, thank you. No, you can't.
No, thank you.
You absolutely cannot.
I mean, I'm a Christian. If somebody comes up to me and they're like, can I talk to you about Jesus? I'm still like, I don't really want to.
I'm kind of busy right now.
It's just a little awkward. So, right. Yeah, I have issues with all of those types of things as well.
Yeah.
I feel, and the church issues, and
it's a,
but there
big,
are good ones out
it's
there.
It's a big, for me, my personal relationship with all of this is like, it's a big ball of yarn that I'm trying to untangle. Yeah. And see what's at the core of it, because I'm very early in it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I'm gonna ever be a Christian. Mm-hmm. Who's saved, to use, you know, the terms you're using. I mean, I am, I guess.
We're gonna in have terms some of, preacher call and be been, like, she didn't tell you that right, Katie. She got that from
oops. You know what, I dare you to call, sir. Ma'am.
You want to know what my preacher, I love my preacher. You would love my preacher. He's very funny and sarcastic.
I like funny people.
He's very funny and sarcastic. You know what he says about atheists?
What?
They make the best Christians. Because he says,
you know what?
They think about it.
Yeah.
And they really like thought through it, and they sure. want to be a Christian when they go to be a Christian, you know, like they're not just, no, oh, I think I'm a Christian. Okay, I'm a Christian. You know, they really think about it. He loves a good atheist.
One of,
I'm not lying. He said it, this, that, he well, says it all the time.
You know what else they say about atheists?
I don't know. Do
they
I
want do to not
know?
Exist in foxholes. And oh. last year was a foxhole. You know, oh, I was going to talk about, my friend was diagnosed with cancer in December.
Yes, that's where we were
so
going.
After just like a hard year, and I'm like, oh my God, we're cruising into the end of the year. I'm feeling good. I get a call from my friend you never want to get. And she had been diagnosed. They did not know what it was. And it was so weird. Really, really healthy friend diagnosed. And I don't want to out her here, so I'm not going to say too much about it, but you know, it was not good. Mm-hmm. And I hit my knees. I mean, I don't know how to pray. Like, I'm mm-hmm. not a person who prays. Yeah. I don't know who I was praying to or what I was yeah. praying, you know, what entity was receiving it, but whatever entity helped me through the year, I was like, that's whatever.
Yeah.
God is the word I'll use, is going to receive this. And I prayed for my friend, and I have started to pray for people, and we, you know, my kids pray every night, and I've started kind of participating mm. in that, and my kids wanted to pray for her, and it was just beautiful, and she mm-hmm. has had weirdly good results too. Mm-hmm. So that's just like, oh my God, keep this positive prayer and love coming to her. Mm-hmm. So, because she's having really good results from chemo that she got in really quickly. So, I don't know. You know, it's so complicated.
It's very complicated.
And it's really weird to talk about it here, because I haven't even talked about this with any of my friends, because mm-hmm. I don't want to be like, hey, want to talk about my faith?
Hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? No.
No. Immediately no. I thought we were coming out for cocktails. No, Katie. But after going and pushing against something so hard my whole adult life, and then you also kind of look back, it's like, God, it would have been easier had this come along a little sooner.
Mm-hmm. But that wasn't how it was meant for
because
you.
Because some of the trials and tribulations might have felt a little lighter. Because I'll tell you, the hard days, I'm just like, you know, this is part of things. And I'm again, this is all new to me, my internal mm-hmm. monologue. One you probably run daily.
Well, and that's what I want to tell you. It's hard for everybody. I mean, there are people that are Christians, like, knew they were Christians, like really living Christian lives for 30 years, and they get hit with a tragedy and it's like they start all over. And there's my preacher's daughter, actually, was in her 30s, passed away this fall.
Oh my God.
She had a 3-month-old baby and she had a stroke and she passed away. Oh. And it was a horrible situation. And our whole church, I mean, she grew up in our church, so, like, everyone knew her. Like, she had a Absolutely. Huge church family that was loving her. And our preacher was so open about all of his feelings the whole time. And he would write these Facebook posts, like, really long Facebook posts. It's how he communicated, because he had to take a leave of absence. Sure. He was with her every day in the hospital. Her husband and him stayed, like, literally every
Round
day.
Round the clock, holding vigil.
Like, he took off work to do this, and he was so honest with all of us, because of course we're all reaching out to him yeah. and like wanting to help him. He's like, there's nothing you can do, but that was his form of kind of communicating with us. But I think it was also kind of a therapy
sure.
for him to get his thoughts out. But it was he taught us all so much by sharing his journey mm-hmm. with us. And there was a lot of there's a thing in Christianity, it's like, and it's part of the Bible, but it's help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. Because there are lots of times where you know you believe, but there are these really bad things happening, and you just don't have all the things inside you. And you're yeah. like, I want to believe, but I'm doubting, I'm feeling, I'm in the feels. You know, and that's a thing. And there are books written about it. And it's such a strong prayer, mm-hmm. you know. I believe, help my unbelief. Like, you mm-hmm. don't, you're not expected to know everything or to have it all figured out. And even, I don't know how long he's been preaching. He's been at this church for close to 20 years, I think, mm-hmm. you know. So he's very seasoned.
Sure.
And yet here comes this really bad struggle, and he's in the same boat with all of us. Right. Like, I believe, help my unbelief. And that's what this is a quote, and I'm not sure where I got this from, but faith is letting your doubt coincide with your belief. So it's okay to have doubt. And it's okay not to have all the answers.
Right.
But you still believe, you know? It's weird. It's hard to wrap your brain around.
It is hard. And it's hard. I'm sure it's hard for anyone at any age. But, like, this late in life, I'm just, like, fighting so many pre-existing notions yeah. and so many limiting beliefs around faith.
And so many things that you've seen. I mean, you've right. had a lot of experiences.
A lot of experiences. You know? And again, I go back to, I don't know where this is leading. I don't know that yeah. it's leading to Christianity. I don't know if I'm going to be a Buddhist.
You might be.
I might.
I might rub your belly.
I might enjoy it. But, you know, we'll see. And it's just been really, really comforting in the last year. You and I both have had
we had a big year.
Motherfucker of a year. Not in a good way. A big old bitch of a year, both of us. And I just know that, like, having this new something I didn't want to drop into my toolbox of things that could help me.
You're like, right now? We're going to do this now?
No. I mean, I think it, you know, honestly, Brandy, yes, but also, okay.
Yeah.
We're going to do this now.
Yeah.
And there's no time like the present,
well,
you know?
It's funny you were talking about your parents had a lot of trauma in their life.
Yes.
How different people react. So my brother was in a really bad car wreck when I was in high school. And it's kind of one of those things.
it was amazing that he even survived. Like, literally the only parts not broken on him were the parts in his torso.
Wow.
Like his face and organs. Head were broke. All his legs Holy and feet moly. Were broke. So it's like, how does something like that happen and people not believe after right. that? But I've seen lots of situations like that where something like that happens and then they're just mad at God and sure. mad at all the beliefs. And so they don't, you know,
right.
like I trended towards believing after that.
Right.
And other people might trend another way.
Absolutely.
Isn't that weird?
No, it's human.
Yeah,
it's the
I mean, it's
experience
weird.
It's, and how it's we just, process our anger yeah. and trauma. And sometimes anger is so much easier than
yes.
understanding
that's
and
a
empathy.
Great statement.
And it's a quick place to go that's cheap and doesn't really give you much in
doesn't
return.
Doesn't solve much.
No, but mm-hmm. you can stay there and you can get pretty bitter.
You can stay there a long time.
You can stay there a long time. Mm-hmm. But what the joy of having the understanding that I wasn't alone, you know, mm-hmm. and
somebody is looking out
those
for
times.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to talk about that really funny clip I saw.
Yes.
The comedian. What is his name?
Pete Holmes.
He does. We're going to yeah. link to this in show notes.
This is good.
There's this great clip about, and I will completely screw it up, so I'm not even going to try to attempt it. But if you want a little hilarity about atheism and belief in God, go watch this clip. I'm not going to try and deliver it, but it's a really, really, really good one.
It is. And we'll definitely link to that.
We'll
and
link
anything
to that
else.
For sure.
I don't even know what we've covered. This was a great conversation.
This was a really good conversation.
I'm so happy to have
I continue
it.
To wait for you to cry, and I continue to try to stay dry-eyed. Can you shed a dang tear so I don't feel like
I
such
cry.
A goof?
I was crying on this
these.
Weekend.
I feel like such
I'm
kind of
like, you know, we've talked about like crying in the shower. Like, I like to cry when I'm alone.
I don't like to cry here.
I'll just
like
bring
I don't
the
come and think
Katie.
I can't wait to shoot with Brandy today and record and cry,
it's
and then
therapy.
Have people I don't even know
watch
see me cry. You did tell me after friendship that I was a pretty crier, and
you
I appreciated
are.
That
you
compliment.
Very nice, very
thank
beautiful.
You. I try really hard.
Just kidding. She's practiced.
It's just, listen, I mean, I said it before, I'll say it again. I didn't cry for 10 years, and then
and now it's all coming.
It all. Listen, it's just, it's the bell you can't unring. It just, once it starts, it won't stop.
Just ask my husband. He's like, can she stop calling me crying and call someone else?
You
crying.
Can call me. I'll answer.
Don't say that. He's like, now you can stop calling me crying. You're not going to pass me around.
Okay, Brandy, I've done, my watch here is done.
No, this was fun. I
this
hope
was
people,
fun.
We'll get something out of it.
I hope so, too. We would love, I think, also if you call in and tell us a quick version of your story.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're like, you guys are full of nonsense, because that would have been me.
Yeah.
Prior to January 2023, I've been like, I'm not listening to this episode. These two are dodo birds trying to get
well,
on here.
We might still be.
Well, we are dodo birds, but you know, professing, and I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear their shit. That would have been me prior to January 2023.
Well, yeah, I agree.
But now I'm totally opening to hearing all of y'all's shit.
all the
all
time.
Shit.
Give us a ring.
Give us a ring. Give us a ring. Okay, so.
Those were supposed to, yeah, I enjoyed that. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, thank you for sharing.
That
and
was
thank you
deeply
for supporting
personal.
Me. It was deeply personal. I'm going to stay up tonight regretting it.
No.
All of it.
It was beautiful. It was great. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you for
thing.
Being supportive.
I know.
All
so
right.
We'll see you guys
We'll see you guys
time.
Next time.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We hope you enjoyed our conversation and can't wait to share another episode with you next Thursday.
Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. To keep up with the latest, make sure to follow us on Instagram at Podcast She Did What. We'll be sharing updates, behind the scenes, and announcements you won't want to miss.
And if there's anything you'd like to share with us, whether it be a personal story or feedback on our episodes, you can leave us a voicemail at 762-499-2201 or head over to our website, shedidwhatpodcast.com. Also, feel free to leave us a review down below. We'd love to know what you think.
She Did What is hosted by us, Brandi Chandler and Katie Jacobs, and produced by Studio D Podcast Production.
Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next Thursday. And remember, it isn't always easy, but it sure as hell can be entertaining.